Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Today's real endangered species is the family. Fractured, broken, stressed, dysfunctional. All these words describe a crisis in the most basic unit of society. If the church does not act to save the family, who will? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer begins a series on reclaiming the family. Now, we explore why too many families are living miles apart in the same house.
Well, what do you think about Jennifer Wilbanks? She's the bride that got cold feet. And she decided to concoct a story about abduction to get out of marrying someone. She did get part of it right. If you're unsure as to whether or not you should marry a given individual, be sure to not walk down that aisle. Leave the 600 guests in the pews, but don't walk down the aisle. Here at the Moody Church, I ended a wedding on a Wednesday that was to take place on a Saturday. A woman came and began to tell me whom she was going to marry, and here he was abusive. So I called the man who was going to perform the ceremony. It was none of our staff. It was someone else from the outside, a Christian minister. I told him, I said, you know what? This marriage isn't happening. And he agreed. He said, if that's the case, he said, I didn't counsel them well. He said, okay, it won't. She said, oh, yeah, but she said, I come from a shame culture, and people have already given gifts, and they're already on the way. This is Wednesday, and the wedding is Saturday. I said, that's okay. Blame me. Tell them, that Pastor Lutzer, you know what he did? He's not letting that wedding take place. Months later, she met me in the lobby and gave me a hug, and she said, Pastor, how will I ever thank you enough? She said, I knew that I should not marry him, but she said, I didn't have the strength to say no. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Marriage is something like flies on a screen door. Those that are in want out, and those that are out want in, you know. So Jennifer Wilbanks did get part of it right. Don't walk down the aisle, just throw the fish back in the lake and keep walking. But try to do it in such a way that you will not become a household name. Most women who get married think of three things on their wedding day: the aisle, you know, walking down the aisle. Then, of course, they think of the altar, standing at the altar. And, of course, they think of him. But actually, it's I'll alter him. Take this from my heart to yours. You won't. You won't. Every one of his flaws is going to get worse. His good points aren't going to seem that good after you're married. And just accept the fact that God might change him, the church might change him, his friends might change him, the Spirit might change him, but you won't. You won't. You officially give up all authority to change him when you walk down that aisle. So if you have doubts, don't. So what is the family going to look like in the future? According to Time magazine, and this is an old article long before we were talking about the possibility of same-sex marriages. According to Time magazine, it will be interracial, bisexual, divided by divorce, multiplied by remarriage. The concept of illegitimate children will vanish because the nuclear family will have vanished. In fact, the nuclear family that was so popular during the 50s will be thought of as having been abnormal. There will be serial monogamy, that is one partner at a time, but several partners during a lifetime. You may get married and write into the contract that you're marrying this person for your college years, and then you have a career, and during that period, you're married to someone else. And then you decide to divorce that individual and retire with someone who is finally compatible. Yeah, I'm sure. And children will have to divide their affection and their loyalty between stepmothers, birth mothers, biological fathers, step-parents, and ex-step-parents. Schools will have to have 24-hour support structures for children and sanctuary for abused children. Maybe Huxley, you remember, in his Brave New World, said that there will actually be baby hatcheries staffed with nurses who will do the rearing for people. And, of course, I might add, and everybody's going to be happy and well-adjusted, and life is just going to be wonderful. Talk about a nightmare. A nightmare. Imagine all of the depravity. Imagine all of the emotional baggage. Imagine all of the pain, even if a part of what I've just read comes true. If you can, imagine it. Today, I begin a series of messages on the family. I know I have a habit of saying that this is the most important series I've ever done, so I'm going to revert to habit and say that this is surely one of the most important series I've ever done. And the key verse for the whole series is actually coming to us from the book of Nehemiah. You need not turn to it, but I shall simply read it. And it says this: "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and for your homes." That's what we're going to do. We're going to fight for your marriage. We're going to fight for your children. We're going to fight for the strengthening of the family. We are going to reclaim the family. That's what this series of messages is called: reclaiming the family, God's priority, and God's homes. Now, today we're going to begin with the first family on the topic of communication. Communication has to do with the giving and the receiving of messages. And communication is important not just so that we might understand each other. There are all kinds of stories about people who miscommunicate. Like the person who said, "I know you think you've understood what I said, but what you have heard is not what I meant." And the little girl who said that my Sunday school teacher said that if I am not more regular in attendance, she's going to be dropping me down the furnace. The mother was aghast and then discovered that the Sunday school teacher said that if you're not here more often, I'll drop you from the register. Communication is important. But the reason that I'm speaking on it today is because it is important to communicate in order to love. Unless you allow someone else into your life and open your heart to them, unless there is a sense in which somebody knows all about you, both the good and the bad and the ugly, and they accept you nevertheless, unless you're that open with someone in your marriage, the person whom you married, unless there is that openness, there will never be love. It is not possible to love a stranger. You can have a sexual relationship with a stranger, but you cannot love a stranger. So what people do is they have walls in their life, and they take these walls and they put them in firm foundations, and they dig them very, very deep. And they live within these walls, and the wall may be guarding them from people who would come to know them. And within those walls, they may experience deep depression, anger, a secret addiction. And that's the way they live. So that their outer persona is something entirely different than that which is going on in their inward life. Today we're going to talk about those walls, and with God's help, we're going to see them demolished. I remember a woman saying to me, "I am married to the great stone face." comes home, gets a newspaper, gets buried in it, watches television. There's no communication. There's no mutual understanding. There's no camaraderie. There's no sense of harmony and connection. Another woman said to me, "My husband has put a sign over his heart, and the sign says, 'Do not disturb.' What we'd like to do is to remove those signs today, and we'd like to turn that stone face into a face of flesh." We don't have time today to go into the story in Genesis chapter 3 where it all began, but you know the story all too well, how Adam and Eve sinned. What we're going to do is to talk about the consequences of sin. It says in Genesis chapter 3 verse 7, "Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called out to the man and said, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?'" This is Pastor Lutzer. As you may know, this is the beginning of our series entitled Reclaiming the Family. And in this first message, I deal with the whole issue of communication between the husband and the wife, the mother and the father. Because I believe that healthy families begin there. It begins with the parents. And I ask today in the name of the Lord that you who have been listening would be open to the possibility that your life can be different as you open yourself up, first of all, to God and then to your mate and eventually, to some extent, to your children. Because unless we are open and honest, unless we stop hiding, the grace of God is not able to enter into our lives and transform us in a way that would be honoring to our Lord. In the next message, I'm going to be speaking about Adam and Eve in the garden. And we're going to be talking about such things as the blame game. We're going to be emphasizing that sin cuts us off, not just from God, but from one another. And so I want to conclude today by asking you this question. What changes might God be asking you to do in your life that will cause you to be more honest, more open, more vulnerable, more open to the possibility of allowing the blessed Holy Spirit of God to work in your life and in the lives of those around you? I'm convinced that until our churches have an attitude of honesty where people can be who they are without wearing their masks, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is often compromised, and we grieve Him. Well, this opening message, let's open our hearts to the Lord, to His Word, and trust Him for great change.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Erwin Lutzer with part one of Miles Apart in the Same House, the first of seven messages on reclaiming the family. Next time, learn more about how today's family dysfunction had its beginning in the Garden of Eden. Reclaiming the Family can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.